This is Roger Walton with a moment from our Christian musical heritage. John M. Moore is the writer of this great song of the faith. The inspiration came from his visiting a young merchant seaman who was in critical condition. He talked with the man for a while and then handed him a tract that had part of the story of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, the part where Pilgrim had made his way up to Mount Calvary with a heavy burden on his back. But when he sincerely knelt at the cross, his burden rolled off his back. From this visit and the tract came the song, "Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. So, my friend, cast your cares on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near."
Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary.
A Christian Musical Heritage Moment is a production of Anchor Broadcasting.
With that familiar theme, howdy and welcome to Tuesday.
Howdy, howdy. It is kind of a, well, I don't know. It's not a, weather-wise, it's okay. I don't think it's been too bad. We've kind of been kind of overcast, you know, not a lot of sunshine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's at least, I don't know, it must have really poured here yesterday when I left.
Have mercy.
Because I come in this morning and check the rain gauge. And sure enough, it was like halfway up the stalk. And I was like, man, what in the world happened here after I left?
About 2 o'clock, I looked outside and I thought, it's getting kind of dark outside.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was editing and I had my headphones, I was kind of buried in my little hole. And I happened to look out the window. I'm like, yeah, that's not looking like it's going to be dry for much longer.
Mm.
And then when you can hear it inside building, you know it's raining hard.
You know it's putting it
And
out.
I walked to my car and it actually ran over my shoes. It was, there was water, like a little creek running down the parking lot.
Well.
So it all happened, all that rain came in about 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I ran into a little sprinkle going through Etowah, but then it just didn't do anything. And then the next thing, I look behind me, and I'm thinking, well, it's getting dark over that way. And then I come in this morning and took the measurements, and sure enough, we were like almost like 0.6
wow.
inches
over
of rain. So
inch.
Almost over half inch of rain come down just
well,
yesterday.
I believe it.
Yeah.
And it was hit and miss. I was up in Lake Talkshoe yesterday, and in one community, it was dry coming home. just down the road, maybe a quarter of a mile, wet, and then rain. It was nuts. So some people got rain yesterday, some didn't. But if you didn't, sit tight, because I believe we've got some rain on the way.
Yeah, next couple days.
Is it anything what they were talking about, Tropical Storm Bonnie or Tropical Depression Bonnie? Is she, because she's forming, they say.
Yeah, I think that, is that the next called one they're going to, that's what will be the one?
That's the next called one, yeah, from what I understand.
I think it's supposed to dump out, from what I was watching on the Weather Channel earlier, they've got it, it's got a number.
Because mm-hmm. it's not named yet.
Yeah, and so it's spinning right off the Gulf of, right there at Texas, right in the Gulf of Mexico. They're calling for a bunch of rain to come down in the Texas area.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether it's going to gain speed and then form up to be a tropical storm, but it's expected to put quite a bit of rain down in the Gulf.
And there is some type of system that is going to be, whether it's this system that if it develops and gets stronger, it'll be named Bonnie or not. Mm-hmm. But they're saying that the southeast, some areas like Atlanta seems to be kind of ground zero with the rainfall. So it looks like for the upcoming 4th of July weekend, there might be some rain.
I think yesterday, just south of Atlanta, they broke their old record in the amount of rainfall that came down in, I think it was a little over an hour's time. Mm. I think they said that it broke the record, like 2.6 inches of rain fell in a little over an hour, just south of Atlanta, and the old record was like 2.4 inches or something. Mm. So we can expect those, because what happens is with this particular system, there's nothing really to kind of push it out of the way, mm-hmm. Like when you have cold fronts moving in and warm fronts moving in, depending on whichever direction they're going to push them, so they'll stall. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening, is that this particular rainmaker in the Gulf is going to sit over the landmass and stall out and dump quite a bit of rain.
Yeah.
So depending on where you are, you may get 2 or 3 inches of rain and others will stay dry. And it's not going to be that widespread until the next couple of days when we'll see it more widespread.
Yeah.
And then looked like that, if I'm not mistaken, it's going to be that way again.
Indefinitely.
Yeah.
I was scrolling down through the forecast and it clicks off, it has the day and then the night and the day and the night. And I keep scrolling, looking for, they are stuck on a 60% chance. That is their favorite percentage right now.
I figured it out. I figured these guys out.
Uh-huh.
If you stay in that 40 to 60 range, mm-hmm. then you can't be wrong.
Well, there you go. Because somebody's going to see rain.
Because see, that way there's a half and half, close to half and half chance of being right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a half and half chance close to it that you might be wrong. So they just kind of hang in the middle. We call that in spiritual terms, straddling the fence.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's just kind of straddling the fence.
That's your...
Yeah, just depending on which side the fence you on.
It's your politically correct forecast is partly cloudy with a chance of afternoon scattered showers.
There you
or
go.
If you're an optimist, partly sunny.
There you go.
With a chance of afternoon showers or thunder showers.
We'll stay on the optimal side there sure.
So we'll see what we get.
It's summer in the mountains, so you're going to expect that. Anything.
Anything is possible. And, man, the heat last week was rough.
Yeah,
It was very dangerous for, folks being out.
Mm-hmm.
You were warmer here. We were in a little place called, I don't know how little, Mineta, Virginia.
Okay.
We went to Smith Mountain Lake.
Mm.
It's like a 22,000 acre lake. It was man-made because it's power. It's a mm-hmm. hydro, and they had said that they actually flooded out. They bought the land from farmers and they flooded out this 22,000 acres.
Kind of like what TVA did back in the day.
Yeah, it took them. They said 3 years to fill up the lake, and they went and they cut the tops of the timbers off about 30 to 40 feet is the depth.
Mm.
That's the minimum depth.
Okay.
And then at some places in the lake, it's over 200 feet
deep.
Oh,
wow.
So, but we went up there, and it got up to, I think 94 was what it was saying, you know, the best reading we could get. But y'all were warmer here. My parents live in Lake Toksaway, and my dad has... He keeps real close track of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
He can tell me how much rain, when it's rained. I think he can give you the size of the raindrops if I needed to. But they sent me a picture, and it registered 100 degrees.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's been pretty accurate, you know, as far as what it was based on the official reporting stations. But I saw a story out of Tennessee. And we've had stories where bears have gotten into cars that have actually had the door shut.
Right.
They use their paws or even their teeth to open the doors. Mm-hmm. And there was a story out of Sevierville that these people were vacationing. They were at a cabin, and they left about 10 o'clock in the morning. They apparently had multiple vehicles there. So they left about 10 in the morning and came home just before 7 that night. And it got that day, they say it was about 95 degrees.
Right.
So the vehicle's interior temperature would have been about 140.
Ooh.
Well, they had some food in the car.
Oh, man.
They had some soda cans and some, like, snacks in there. And it was just wrappers when they found. But a bear had gotten the door open and got in. Well, the door apparently shut behind it.
Mm.
And it was in there looking, you know, for food, and it died from the heat.
Wow.
Said they came back that night and found the bear. Wasn't a large bear, but they did find soda cans and candy wrappers and stuff. But something that they said in this article, and I may have seen it before, but wow, it said bears have noses that are 7 times better than a bloodhound.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They can smell even the faintest odor of food inside a vehicle with the door shut and the windows up.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, which leads me to believe is how good, I guess they are to a certain extent, but how good are these so-called bear-proof packaging? You know, like they advertise to put your food in?
Yeah.
And, you know... Because if that's the case, I mean, I know that there's ways that you could probably camouflage it to a certain degree. But, you know, if you can smell it, if they can smell it through a locked window in a package inside a car, you know, and be able to detect that, I don't know how well those packaging remedies might be. I don't know.
I agree.
I mean, I guess they could be, but I don't want to discredit anybody, but I can just tell you that's kind of... kind of an iffy thing.
Well, that was kind of my thought. I'm thinking, man, if they can get, and you know, again, the windows are rolled up, doors shut, and it was in a wrapper. It wasn't even opened.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They were going on to say that, you know, really, you should lock your doors.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And with children, kids can get in a car. Yeah. Little ones can open a door and sometimes to get in, but sometimes they can't open that same door to get out.
Yeah.
And you'd hate for the kids to be playing and somehow one of them accidentally lock themselves or shut themselves up in the car.
I get a little bit of news feeds coming in. Of course, you know, I try to be sensitive to the source.
Yeah.
Obviously, all of us do here in the news business. We try to be careful. But I did see a story that come out of Ohio already. The second one that I've seen, I know me and Miss Brianna were talking about it last week about the dangers of children in cars left in this. And of course, Saturday, here's another incident in Ohio, I believe, near Columbus, to where there was it's been ruled an accident. It really has. But apparently there was a switching of drivers. They brought the vehicle home. They didn't know the kid had gotten into the vehicle, climbed in the back seat, went to sleep. And then another driver took a vehicle and went somewhere else and then parked it to go in and do some shopping, but did not realize that the child was still in back because they had switched drivers.
Yeah.
Okay, so that being said, I mean, it's just a tragedy. When you think about those kind of things that happen, and you know, there wasn't really any, you had no way of knowing between having communication between the two drivers, And then to find that out after they came back to the car and realized it. So, again, it's just, I think one of the best things that you could do, and I really think it'd help everybody. Mm-hmm. What's one thing that none of us could pretty much do without these days? When you think about it. Okay. So let's just use that. We'll use that as a cell phone. You could use your purse.
Yeah,
you could use your briefcase.
Something with your driver's license or your wallet.
Yeah, something that has your money in it,
yeah,
which is important to you, whether it's your briefcase, a wallet, whether it's a backpack or something like that that you have important, maybe your laptop in or your or whatever, your tablet, your phone. Put it in the back seat, right beside the car seat. And that way, if the child happens to go off to sleep and you're driving down the road and you get distracted or whatever and you forget, 9 times out of 10, I would say almost 99% of the time, mm-hmm. we rarely get out of our vehicle without our keys, without our wallet, or without our cell phone. And then give yourself a reminder. Those things are the reminders.
Yeah.
I mean, I've used this in a point, and I'm not being facetious by no means, but I know folks that will literally go back home and get their cell phone if they've forgotten it. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes they won't bring their Bible to church, but they'll go back and get their phone. They'll go back and make sure they get that phone, which is another story in itself. But that way, give yourself a reminder.
Yeah.
Make it. I think, you know, with technology getting the way it is, might behoove automakers to really get down to business about making sure that if there's still a seat belt engaged, because most seat belts attached to car seats, whether that, you know, where you attach the car seat in the car, if those buckles are in place and they're engaged, there should be a sensor or something to let the driver know that there are seat belts engaged. And before it ought to remind the driver that before they get out of the car that there's a seat belt engaged. How hard would that be?
With all that they can make cars do
exactly
now, they're bound to be able to do that. And I had read somewhere that automakers were kind of getting on board with that.
That would be perfect.
But I even in some of the newer cars, they have a little thing that'll come up on your dash reading, check rear, I think it says check rear view seat for articles left behind. I think that's their terminology.
The one vehicle that I have, if you put too much weight in the front seat, okay, without the seat belt on, it will tell you. It will the warning will come on that the airbag is not engaged, because I'd have a big load in where I'd sit something in the front seat, like a big heavy bag of groceries or a briefcase or something. And if there is enough weight in that seat and the seat belt's not engaged, it'll tell you that the seat belt's not hooked up.
There's bound to be ways
to do this to where you can actually prevent some of these things. And obviously the best way is just to park, look, and then exit. Clearly.
And it's heartbreaking.
It is.
A lot of heartbreaking.
There we go. We got a picture of the airport right there. Miss Suzanne just sent that.
Well, there we have it.
We got a bear.
Right across the road from us here. At the Transylvania, a little landing strip.
What about that?
Yeah. Well, bears are out right now, and if you hear, just know what you're needing to do as far as your food, as far as your garbage, as far as cleaning your grills, and there's a lot of information. So just make sure that they call it to be bear aware. Very
good.
Someone asked me earlier about an update for Miss Karen, and I have not heard anything today. The last that I heard yesterday was that she had had a better day, and that's Miss Karen Fox, one of the staff members here, had some medical issues over the weekend, and very serious, and ended up being flown to Greenville because that was the closest ICU bed that was available. And she remains there at Greenville, and I believe that let me just I don't want to go off memory.
Right.
So let me pull up a message. I've got folks there that have been kind to give us updates that that Karen is doing better. She knows where she's at.
Good.
The clarity's coming back for her, which is a great blessing. And if everything proceeded as was planned, they would be taking her off the insulin drip last night and give her clear liquids and to see how her sugar, you know, will acclimate with that.
Okay.
And if all goes well, you know, there might be a possibility that she could be coming home toward the end of the week.
All right.
Well, just have to see how things go.
Yeah.
And want to remind folks, if you'd like to send Miss Karen a card, you're welcome to send it here, and we will make sure that she gets it.
Absolutely.
Just send it to WGCR and put Attention Karen Fox, the address 3232 Hendersonville Highway, Pisgah Forest, North Carolina, 28768.
Yeah.
If you didn't get that, call us after Swap Shop.
Absolutely.
And we'll be sure to get it to you.
Okay.
Please pray for the Kiana Baptist Teen Camp.
Okay.
Started yesterday.
Yeah.
And Brother R.R. is actually up there. So if we're a little long in answering the phone, bear with us. We're a little short on the staff side this week. But Brother R.R. is one of the counselors. And I didn't get a final number of how many young people they had coming, but Brother David Youngblood and Miss Tammy Youngblood, today's their wedding anniversary.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Pray they have a wonderful one, but they're there in full swing camp mode.
Yeah.
And they're really, really excited about this opportunity right on a river there.
Yeah, boy.
They were talking about the facility that the Lord had opened up for them to use, and just perfect.
I can just imagine. I mean, it's been I don't like to use the word bucket list, I guess. But I guess that'd be okay to use. But,
yeah.
You know, just one of these days, you know, there's a lot of different places I wanted to go and work. I got to go to Israel, got to go on a mission field. But I'd love to go, you know, to Alaska one of these days. Mm. I've always seen these guys standing on the edge of the river up there, one of those rivers, fly fishing for those big sockeye salmon, those big giant salmon that run the rivers up there and catch them on fly rods.
Oh, wow.
Now, I don't know how much, to me, that would be like, I mean, and then, of course, you know, you don't want to be in an area, but, you know, I watch these guys catch them in, like, right where the bear are. And they're, I mean, they're out there catching them right along. They don't bother you. They're out there catching their food because they got plenty of food to catch. But you're catching them right along with them. And pulling them in. And it's just, I don't know, I'm not going to do it in front of a bear. I certainly wouldn't want to do that. But, I mean, we're talking about these big, giant salmon that are huge. I just thought that would be something to do one day. Yeah.
They say fishing in Alaska is just it's a premium thing. Yeah.
You don't have to struggle. Put it this way, you don't have to struggle. You don't have to struggle sometimes like we do down here to go fishing.
Try to find somewhere to fish.
Or to find somewhere to fish, number one, and number two. You know, the water down here. I mean, I do some offshore fishing when I go to the beach, have pier fishing and things like that. But I saw today that down in Florida, the water temperature is near 90 degrees.
Oh, wow.
90 degrees beach water.
My.
Well, I mean, that's like taking a...
It's like a bath.
Take a bath.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the time your thermostats in your hot water heaters are only running at about 100, 110 degrees, you know, on the hot side.
Yeah.
And 90 degrees in beach water.
Wow.
So the fish don't bite too well when the water gets that hot. They just tend to stay in deeper water. So to go to Alaska where the fish are so abundant,
the water's
cold. You could probably just point at them and jump out of the water and they just jump.
Whistle.
Just whistle and they'll come. They'll just come running. Yeah, wishful thinking.
Yeah.
I saw this come in. Okay, this tip was passed along saying that when you get in your car to drive, take off one of your shoes and put it back on, put it back in the back seat there with your car seat, and then when you get out of your car, you'll remember to put your shoe back on.
Well, yeah, that'd be definitely one thing I'd miss.
Right.
Is my shoe.
But understand this. I don't know. It may be coming from a reputable source, but the last time I checked, I don't think it's permissible.
Aren't you supposed to have your shoes
on
when you drive?
It's not permissible to drive barefoot.
That would be a good thing to research.
I think we need to, we probably need to check on that one. Because last time I checked, at least if I remember my driver's ed days.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to have a pair of flip-flops on.
Yeah.
But to go barefoot in a regular vehicle driving.
Yeah.
That's a different story, I think.
It's definitely something you would remember.
You would remember. You could remember it.
I mean,
obviously, especially before you step out on a hot piece of pavement.
Yeah, or gravel.
Or gravel, or whatever. Yeah, so again, but thanks for the tip.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
That is.
I mean, that would be a good one. If it's not illegal. You know.
And the main thing is, anything that we try to do anything we can to
remember
to be safe.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking when we get those stories.
It is terrible.
The water temperature, you know, I know the Davidson, it stays about 68 degrees.
Yeah.
And I was reading a story about a swift water rescue person that actually drowned themselves.
Yep.
Was it the Nantahala?
It was in Nantahala.
And they were talking that the water temperature there, if I read it correctly, was between 55 and 62 degrees year round.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how that cold water makes it so much more difficult. And a lot of swift water rescue teams will go there to train.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm not 100% secure in saying it was the Nantahala. I want to say
I'm pretty sure it was. It was over near Swain and Swain and Macon County lines. So I'm pretty sure that would be the Nantahala.
But I was surprised at that water temperature.
Yeah.
But they said it's year round.
Yeah.
And they go there again, the swift water teams. This lady was actually an instructor.
Yeah.
41 years of age.
Yeah, she is an instructor. A firefighter instructor from Virginia, I think, is where she was from.
Yeah.
And she, was well-versed as an instructor and was teaching. They were having, classes over there this week.
Yeah.
And so it was just a tragic thing, you know. But not to mention the cold water, but obviously that's where they go. A lot of people go there to train for rafting as well as kayaking and all of that stuff. So it is those rapids. I mean, there's a reason why they have age restrictions as well as, different class ratings on those rapids over there.
Yep.
Because not just anybody can get in that boat. And so it's real important. If you're going to go, listen. They take you out there. They give you these instructions.
Mm-hmm.
They won't let you, it's better to graduate class by class by class, moving up. But there's a reason why they give those safety classes at the beginning of each trip. Knowing how to paddle, knowing how to hold on, what to do if the boat flips, and all those kind of things. And I can say that it obviously looks fun sometimes, and there's always that safety factor which has to be taken into account.
And as we head into 4th of July weekend, it's a big weekend. A lot of folks, plan their vacations around the 4th. And I saw where South Carolina DOT was suspending a lot of road work over the 4th. And I'm assuming North Carolina is going to do the same thing. I would just dare to say most states would do that because of just the amount of travel. But a lot of folks coming in up in the forest and hiking and getting photographs. And we just can't reiterate the importance of following the guidelines. Yep. Abide by the barriers that are up. They're not there to aggravate you. They're there for your safety.
Yeah.
There's a reason that they don't want you crossing the fence and getting at the top of the waterfalls.
Yeah.
The water may look very shallow, but you underneath, you have no idea how slick those rocks can be.
Absolutely.
Just from the buildup of moss and things, algae under there. I mean, it just gets slick.
Yeah.
And the undertow at the top of those falls can be very, very deceiving.
Yes.
You can.
Well, one thing too, a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of our rivers here in the mountains, whether it be even the Davidson River, whether it be the Nantahala, or a lot of these places where it's very popular to go swimming and tubing and such.
Mm-hmm.
The fact remains is that the elevation that these rivers fall at, is pretty high. So there's rapid, even though it looks deceiving, the currents can be strong because of the fall in elevation as it comes down these mountains. So what looks maybe on the surface may look fairly reasonable to navigate, the undertow, because of the elevation drop, can be very, very, it can be misleading. So please be careful. Follow the guidelines. Don't go around signs. Don't, you know, don't swim in areas. And don't go alone.
No.
Don't go alone. Be, you know, go with a group. Be safe. Don't be crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we all have done it. We've all done it when we were kids. But, you know, please.
Yeah.
The more I'm aware, news conscious, these days, you know, the less I like to tell stories about the tragedies that that happened in our area. It's just sad. And so, again, please be careful. We had a caller call in just a second ago to tell us, here's another solution. If you have a baby in the back seat, leave the diaper bag in the front seat.
There you go.
That's a great one. That's a great one.
And I would say even if you've got a toddler that still requires a car seat, just grab one of their toys or something and stick it in the front seat.
Yeah, absolutely.
So very good. Yeah. Very good.
That's very a good,
good
one.
Reminder.
That's a great one.
July 4th, it is Free Fishing Day.
You read my mind.
Really?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, well, here you go.
Did. You read my mind.
They say that the North Carolina Wildlife Resource Commission is encouraging everybody to get out and fish. And on July 4th, anglers of any age or residency status are allowed to fish without a license in North Carolina. That starts at 12 a.m. midnight, as I got on. That'd be Sunday night, midnight, until 11:59 p.m. Monday night.
Yeah.
Now, they say you still have to abide by, like, if there's size limits or bait restrictions, you still have to abide by that, but you just don't have to have a license.
Yeah. You can't go trout fishing at midnight.
No.
So if you're going to go to the lake, that's a different story.
Yeah.
If you're going to fish in the lake, you don't have to have a license. So you can fish in a lake or something like that, or you can keep other fish. You just can't go trout fishing until sunrise.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go. So that's a great deal.
Yeah, and if you need more information, you can contact the Wildlife Commission at 888-248-6834. Again, that's 888-248-6834. That is a toll-free number.
Very good.
So if you don't have anything planned on the 4th, go fishing.
Excellent.
If you can find a spot.
Find your rock.
Take a number, and we'll let you know when it's your turn.
Find your rock and stay on it all day.
Don't move.
Don't move.
Park it and have fun.
Yeah.
Well, we'll go ahead and jump into our swap shop items here on this Tuesday.
All right. Here's someone in search of a pug breed puppy or adult. They had a recent loss. They love that breed and would like to find another. 696-9041, 696-9041.
And let me hit another button. I thought I was there with you. Here we've got a neighborhood yard sale coming up this Saturday, July 2nd. And it's going to be at Dodson Flats starting at 8 o'clock. And that's located right across from TVS on Old Highway 64. It's not too far from where 64 and Acosta Road intersect. If you need more information, call 606-1506. Again, that's this Saturday, 8 a.m., Dodson Flats, 606-1506.
Two new tires. They are 195/65R15s. Super Cooper LSX is the brand for $50 for the set. 577-9898. 577-9898.
And I don't know if this is still available, but they had a free lift chair.
Yeah.
You can call for more information at 553-6734. 553-6734.
Here's a 16-foot utility trailer with loading ramps. It's a good trailer for $2,000. Or a Kubota FZ2100. I'll put it that way. 3-cylinder diesel zero-turn lawnmower. It's $2,500 in good running condition. Has 22,186 hours on it. Two numbers, 384-4361 or 447-2627. 384-4361 or 447-2627.
extra clean, two-bedroom, one-bath home located just 3 miles from Brevard. It is furnished, has a two-vehicle carport, a ramp entrance, a covered porch and deck. Lawn maintenance is included. No pets, no smoking. Background and credit check are required. The rent is $1,800 per month plus a security deposit. 778-1366 or 553-4229. 778-1366 or 553-4229.
Here's a job opportunity. Is the Fairview Rest Home is in need of a hairdresser. It's typically one half day each week, and you can pick the day. 628-1565, 628-1565.
Looking for an individual to mow a lawn in the Pisgah Forest area on a regular basis? Call, and if there is no answer, please leave a message. 884-6153, 884-6153.
All right, will that do it?
I think that does it.
Okay.
And I was looking here. I think the 64... little slow down. Maybe they're taking a break for lunch. They're still doing the tree trimming thing there.
Yeah.
And I'll ask you just a couple of questions. Did you hear anything on the change date for the Acosta Bypass, Acosta Roundabout?
We have not heard anything. I've not seen the website update anything at all yet. So I haven't heard anything from Brother Rick because he's kind of like our ear to the ground for that. So that being said, we're still hopeful.
It's a misprint.
We hope it is.
Because it says July of 2023. So that's July of next year. The main drag reopened there in Pisgah Forest, because right now you'd take an Acosta Road and the roundabout to the Acosta Bypass. I don't know. We'll wait on that one.
I guess
a little bit of heavy traffic over on 25 today, not showing any accidents. It's just busy.
Yeah.
And a little bit of a slowdown over on I-40 eastbound, right where the 74 intersects.
Mm-hmm.
That was really backed up on Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't know what the issue is. I don't know if they're working right through there.
I believe they've got some construction going on just past that, I think so.
All righty. Yeah. So I'm not seeing any other
And
thing
we
going
didn't
on.
Get an update from the DOT, but last night was a major, they had it blocked off between Fletcher and Hendersonville on the eastbound side of I-26. And they didn't get most of it open back up till about 10 o'clock this morning because of they had it shut down, had to get off at Fletcher and then come around and get back on. So I bet that was a little issue with the morning commute. Either they had it down to one lane or they were moving barriers or whatever stuff again. I didn't see it come through on – normally we get a notice that that's going to be happening. But when I've refreshed several times and they had it closed. From Fletcher to Hendersonville for about past their normal time.
Right,
normally they open it up about 7 o'clock.
Yeah, try to,
And it wasn't. So, they got it open pretty quick, but it took them a little while into the morning to get it going again for some reason.
You're going to travel 26, you're just kind of taking it for what it is. You never know what that's going
to
be.
Yeah, I think by the time everybody gets used to it being the way it is, they'll try another project.
Yeah. So they're about halfway through, though. That's what they're saying, halfway through the whole thing.
Have you been down I-26 toward the Salute of Grade yet?
I have not.
Across the bridge. They are I'm thoroughly impressed on how they're able to do this. I mean, while we got a little bit of time, they've got this little like trolley set up. Now they've still got two lanes going both directions on the existing bridges, but they took the shoulders away, the inside shoulders to the middle part of the bridge, and they have built this what looks like a trolley that goes back and forth. It's on wheels, and it hangs down up and over the edge of the bridge, and then down in the middle, and that's how they're working.
Oh wow!
Under there, it's pretty impressive. And they're putting these new cross girders in between the existing bridges. And that's going to be the support system when they get ready to put the new I-beams in and start their pour and all that stuff to literally bring these two bridges together.
Yeah, and this bridge, it's not any kind of small bridge.
Oh, no.
We're talking...
I mean, it's over 1,000 feet long, you know, from one end to the other.
200 feet?
And 200-something feet high off the riverbed. So, and they're working above. They're working... Not to mention they've got tractor trailers and two-lane traffic going both directions while they're hanging. Now, this bridge moves. You can feel it moving when these trucks go across. And they're hanging on this little trolley system while they're working under there. You can come when you come off the hill, you can look, you can see down in there where they're working.
Mercy.
It's pretty impressive.
That makes my stomach hurt just to think a lot about it.
I mean, I've been in fire trucks 100 feet in the air before, and I've worked off of stuff like that before back in the day. But no, I don't, that doesn't enthuse me anymore.
No.
It's a young man's game now, I can promise you that.
Not the least, even little bit interested in trying that out.
Yeah.
But God bless them. Slow down through there, folks, and through all the construction zones.
Yeah.
Just make sure that you're being safe and you're alert. Put the cell phone down. Remove any distractions. Don't even be tempted, because when you're in the, even though you travel 26, you know, you may say, I travel it fairly frequently. It doesn't matter.
The way
it is now is it's a completely different road about every time you travel it.
Well, and of course, the way they've had to pave, there's pavement that's uneven.
Yep.
It kind of just throws you.
And there's no shoulder.
There's no shoulder. And so if you're not really paying attention and have control of the steering wheel, it's not like getting on an interstate and, you know, where there's nothing going on and you just kind of just hold on casually with the steering wheel and put the cruise control on and you just kind of go. That is not the case.
No.
In this, particularly this.
I would recommend not engaging cruise control through this project of 26.
Absolutely not.
Because you'll be going and all of a sudden you're slamming on your brakes because people in front of you slammed on their brakes. And when you come to find out, it was nothing other than some uneven pavement that slowed somebody down.
And scared somebody.
Reaction. Yep. And man, it's a crazy time to drive through there. So just be safe.
Yeah.
Well,
you've got it. You've got it over there.
Go ahead.
I'll just slid it over to you.
Alrighty.
Go ahead and start her.
Well, have a great afternoon, folks.
All right.
Be safe, and Lord willing, we'll look forward to meeting you back here tomorrow.
All right. Have a good day.
Listening to WGCR, AM 720 and 94.9 FM, W235 CA, Pisgah Forest, North Carolina, and WGCR.net.